Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys. It's a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys. Regardless of what happens from here on out, this is actually going to be the last Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys for the season. Friday, June 21st, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, Matt Robinson in the house. Jimmy Murphy will be along in a moment as well. He doesn't have a lot of time, but we'll get him in, get him out for a couple of minutes, get his take on Game 6 in the Stanley Cup Final as well. A couple of news items as well the last few days as well in the NHL. That's where we're going to begin, actually, before we even get to that. I do want to point out our schedule, the way it's going to go the rest of the way, depending on how things shake out with Game 6 tonight. If it's over tonight and Florida raises the cup and wins Game 6 tonight, then we will be on with our season finale edition. That's right, our final show of the season, Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Pacific. So Monday will be our season finale show if Florida wraps things up tonight. If we go to Game 7 and Edmonton wins tonight, then we will be on with just your regular standard Game 7 preview show Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 Pacific, as well as a Patreon-exclusive Game 7 live betcast will come your way Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern if this thing goes the distance and goes to Game 7. And if it goes to 7 as well and Edmonton wins tonight, then our recap show, or our season finale, I should say, show will be Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern time, and that will be the end of the season right there. So either way, we're out of here after Monday or Tuesday, pretty much. It just depends on how things go tonight. Before we get into the Cup Final, we did have a couple of news items yesterday, trade items, in fact. Jacob Markstrom traded to the New Jersey Devils. I think it's not really much of a shock. New Jersey was after Markstrom for a long time, and this goes back pretty much to last season. They get the deal done. Kevin Ball, a first-round pick, go back the other way to the Calgary Flames. So not a real big surprise. They needed to upgrade the goaltender. Have I got questions about Markstrom? Hell yeah. He's an older goalie. He's had some injuries. I know he's been plagued last year at times with giving up early goals in games, but he's still a hell of a lot better than anything New Jersey had in net previously. So it's probably a move they needed. So that was yesterday, and the other big trade was Pierre-Luc Dubois sent to the Washington Capitals from the LA Kings. They get Darcy Kemper in return. I actually think that trade was a pretty good one for Blake, but the totality of everything involving Pierre-Luc Dubois for him is a disaster. I mean, you gave up Iafallo, Vilardi, Kumpari, all those great pieces to Winnipeg. You trade PLD after a bad season a year later, and all you've got to show for it is Darcy Kemper off a dismal season? My goodness. I mean, just tough look. That's all there is to it for Rob Blake. I know it was a nice move yesterday, but just the totality of it all, my goodness. Trying to dig yourself out of a hole, I think, is what he's trying to do. Now, Jimmy Murphy is with us, and we've only got him for a few minutes, so I want to get him in here. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How about you?
Good. Before we get into your thoughts on the Cup Final, Jim, how much time do you have, by the way?
Just 3 or 4 minutes, guys. I apologize.
That's okay. This might be the last time we talked to you on the show, so we wanted to get you on at least for a couple of minutes. But just the thoughts on the two trades, Jimmy. What do you think? Markstrom and PLD yesterday.
Well, I think, you know, the Markstrom one, I think everyone was kind of waiting for that one to happen, specifically to happen with the Devils. So not really a huge surprise there. It was just a matter of when it would get done. But I agree with everything you just said on PLD there. I mean, look, credit Rob Blake for being able to dump that salary and not have to retain anything. So I'll give him the credit there. But, other than that, I mean, you just pointed out everything there. I mean, so Darcy Kemper is basically the return for all of that. It's just, I don't know, man. I love Rob Blake as a player. I think he's a great person. I just don't know right now. And it made me think when that trade went down, just looking at his body of work, and it's not that good. I wonder what the leash is for him in LA going forward. So we'll see what happens there. But I don't think we're done in terms of trades, guys. I think a lot of dominoes are going to start to fall here. It's going to be a crazy next 2 weeks in the NHL.
How close are we to Allmark to the Ottawa Senators? Because that's all I'm seeing the last 24, 48 hours.
I think we're close. I've been told that that report that he has already waived his no trade to go there, I'm told that's false. They have not asked him that, and that's coming from a team source. So unless he's told somebody else that he would, the Bruins were not aware of that. So that hasn't been done yet, and I'm told that there's still a few other teams in the mix. And one team that, look, I tweeted this the other day, and then Elliot Friedman actually mentioned it yesterday on Jeff Marek's show to keep an eye on when it comes to Allmark, is the Detroit Red Wings. And I find that interesting. I think they've reached their point where they're like, look, we know we got Kostya coming, and we got some other guys coming, but like, where would we be if we had got the best goaltending last year? Where would we be right now? We probably would have made the playoffs. And obviously, Dylan Larkin.
And that's no disrespect to Alex Lyon. He played his ass off.
It's not. But yeah. I think that and the Dylan Larkin injury hurt them a ton. But other than that, I mean, I think they think they're a starting goalie away, a Vezina Trophy winner at that, from making the playoffs for the first time in a while. And I think that's their goal. So I wouldn't count them out right now. You never know with Stevie Y.
All right, Jimmy, I know you're on the clock here. So game six tonight, Panthers-Oilers. What do you like? Do you have a bargain bin for us and a best bet for us? We'll just throw it right to you. What do you think here tonight?
All right, so my best bet, and I can't believe you're getting plus value for this right now, considering what a tear he's on, is Connor McDavid to score an anytime goal at plus 125 was the last I saw. That's insanity. Like, are they paying attention? He should be like minus...
Oh, do we lose Jimmy? I think we did here. Connor. Oh, we got you.
Okay, so yeah, Connor McDavid to score an anytime goal. I don't have a bargain bin special, but my best bet is going to be a Jimmy puck line for you. Give me the Oilers puck line. Wow. We're going to game seven.
Wow. Going to game seven. Yeah, that's going to make the couple of us very, very irritated, putting it mildly, because we've got these Florida Cup futures, Jimmy, and we're a little nervous now with it. Alex,
I would be nervous too. I would be very nervous. It's unbelievable, guys. If there was ever a team that you would think wouldn't lose a 3-0 lead in a series, it was the Florida Panthers, just because of how tight they were and how they clogged things up the middle and just the forecheck they had going. Bobrovsky, how well he was playing. So huge credit to the Oilers to figure that out and even get it to a game six.
Well, one last thing, Jimmy, before we let you run. What's this scuttlebutt here that the Leafs are interested in Jake DeBrusk? How meaningful
they
is
may
that?
Be interested in him, but I'm telling you guys, I think Jake DeBrusk either wants to stay with the Bruins or he wants to go to the Northwest. So I would look there at teams go. Like the Vancouver Canucks, the Edmonton Oilers, maybe the Seattle Kraken, Calgary Flames. That's where he's looking to go if he hits free agency.
Yeah, if he goes to Edmonton, he reunites with the old man, Louie.
Yep. And his girlfriend lives there broadcast. Still too. Yeah, he wants to go home for sure.
No doubt. All right, Jimmy, that was some awesome stuff. Rapid fire right there.
All right, guys, enjoy, and we'll keep in touch over the summer, all right?
No doubt, Jimmy. Thanks again. All the best. And I was going to say have fun in Vegas, because that's where he's going next week. Him and Pierre Maguire doing this big NHL draft coverage for the iTest next week. So looking forward to that. I'm sure he is getting there. So, yeah, make sure you check that out, by the way. If you're into the draft next week and you're on top of that, you're interested in every pick, Jimmy and Pierre are going to be delivering a great NHL draft coverage as far as that's concerned. So, I basically talked about the trades. Alex, the PLD to Washington, the Markstrom to New Jersey. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's start with the Markstrom deal, because like I said, we all kind of saw that coming, but I think we thought that would be a much larger trade. At least I did. I certainly didn't think that would be essentially a one-for-one player and a pick going back. And it just seemed like they could have swung a little bit more in that move. But obviously, with New Jersey getting a goaltender, something they desperately needed, somebody they can rely on and count on as a number one goalie. You have a 1A, 1B system down the line. He's adaptable to that scenario as well. You don't need him to play 70 games, of course. But he can definitely handle the workload. I think he may handle a little bit of an easier workload in the Eastern Conference, too. We talk about that. You know, the Pacific Division, there's a lot of, you know, he doesn't have to play Connor McDavid in Edmonton now constantly. He doesn't have to play Seattle and Vancouver, some of these more high-octane teams. So he could get into a groove and a rhythm where maybe this, Devils team finds their way back into the postseason. I think they have a lot of other issues and things they have to fill out, and there's going to be other moves being made as well. But it's a solid deal. And then when you look at there's just mess of the Kings and Caps trade. Like you said, you know, Rob Blake, he's just done a terrible job in my opinion. You know, Jimmy was being nice and kind as always, but no, Blake has done an awful job. And the fact is now you have a 34-year-old Darcy Kemper and all of that, what you gave up last year. It's like, okay, kudos to him for dumping the contract, but you shouldn't have had that contract to begin with.
No.
In my opinion, now, we were all very critical.
Shouldn't have made last year's trade in the first place.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the fact that you had to correct it, and now you were only able to correct it by getting an aging goalie at that, no draft picks, no prospects, nothing else. It's just, you know, you did what you had to do, and you have now shored up your goaltending for the moment. But, you know, are you going to re-sign Copley back? Is he going to be ready off the torn ACL? You have Riddick. Can you rely on him? Are you going to run a 1A, 1B system? Are you going to maybe, you know, work somebody else out in camp and go with this three-goalie rotation thing that we saw at times with L.A.? So they haven't really solved any of their issues, in my opinion. And they said Blake's body of work so far is not that great. This is a Kings team we talked about on the BetCast. I have them kind of trending down as one of the teams I can see missing the playoffs, and even the Capitals. You know, I know you were high on the Capitals, Ian, saying that they could maybe make a move next year. And we like what they have in the pipeline at Hershey. They clearly have more talent in the cupboard than we previously thought, but I don't think that's going to be enough for them to do much next year, and they still will have to kind of do some rebuilding after that. And of course, once Ovechkin's all done, that's when the real kind of retool and rebuild will have to take place in DC.
No doubt. And look, we are being nice to Blake because he's a nice guy, good, great player, great career he had playing, but GM work has been awful for the large part. It just has been. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it's like, I see people just going, rewarding Rob Blake. What a great job getting out from under that contract. Well, when someone fucks up in real life and does something really brutal and bad, apologizing for it would be nice, right? And people have to apologize for their transgressions, but they shouldn't get a reward for apologizing. You know, they're just doing what they should do. They fucked up. They did something egregious. They did something awful. They hurt somebody's feelings, and the apology is the minimum requirement. As far as Rob Blake is concerned, this trade and getting and extricating yourself from that horrific PLD contract's the minimum requirement. I don't know why we're patting him on the back and giving him, you know, a gold reward or something for what he did yesterday. I mean, all you're doing is cleaning up an awful mess that you created yourself by trading for PLD, that useless tit, you know, in the first place. You know, so that's what I don't get, this nonsense that we got to give Rob Blake all kinds of credit and congratulations yesterday for getting out from under that contract. It's a bunch of nonsense.
A man walks out of a burning building. Yes, you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. What are you supposed to do? Thankfully, by the way, none of us have to. I don't think I've had to deal with that kind of situation in the past. Matt, what were your thoughts on those two trades in particular?
Yeah, not too much to add. Obviously, as you guys mentioned, the Markstrom trade makes total sense. I think it helps New Jersey. As Alex mentioned, there are still a number of pieces that I think they need to be, you know, a real contender. But I think, you know, having a good starting goaltender is definitely a start. So I think that was a nice trade for them. And then, yeah, regarding the Pierre-Luc Dubois, the only, you know, bright spot is that, yes, that contract is no longer on your books, and they didn't retain anything. So that's the only win there. I think LA is sort of in trouble. I think they do have a young pool of some good players that I think will continue to, you know, help that team. But I could definitely see them taking a step back, being like a 9-10 team in the West. You know, they're not going to be the worst team. They're not going to be San Jose next year. Or San Jose from this year, next year, they're not going to be the worst team by a mile, but I think that I could very likely see them not making the playoffs next year, kind of needing a year or two to rebuild things and kind of recoup from this situation. And the question is, will Rob Blake do that? Again, to Alex's point, I don't think he's shown any great spots so far, you know, and maybe things will change over the next year or two and we'll look back on this and he'll have made some great deals and be this awesome, you know, GM, but, you know, I'm not going to bet on it. So, yeah, I think it's sort of a tough situation for LA. I've got some friends that are big Kings fans, and I know that they're happy to see Pierre-Luc Dubois gone, happy to see they didn't retain any contract, but
yep.
not really in a great spot as far as like what the future holds. So I guess we'll see what happens over the off season, see if they can pick up anybody throughout it, or, you know, if they're just going to try and roll with what they've got.
It's just, so it'll be interesting to see. It's just very unfortunate here because look, Vilardi's a great player. We figured that out. He had a great season in Winnipeg. Iafallo's a very solid player. They're offensively, very solid defensively as well. Campari is a project. He's still developing, but he could turn into something good. All those guys are gone. You got PLD. He's no longer there now. And all you have to show for this whole series of transactions is Darcy Kuemper off the worst season of his career, and God knows if he's ever going to get it back.
And here's the craziest thing of it all, right? They don't make that trade last season, and they keep Vilardi. They keep Iafallo. Probably a good chance they still end up in the same spot where they were, and they may have even beaten Edmonton, which means we're talking about something completely fucking different here in the Stanley Cup final if that was the case.
Yeah, we're not talking about Connor McDavid maybe in this position right now to force a game seven in a cup final if LA maybe kept the team they had 2 years ago instead of, you know, dismantling two big pieces from it and going with a guy that just did nothing really for them, abysmal. For that team. But nevertheless, speaking of the Stanley Cup final, it's time to roll along to the Stanley Cup final. It is game six on a Friday night back to Edmonton. Yes, indeed. As Jack Michaels said, the Panthers did indeed, or the Oilers did indeed drag the Panthers all the way back to Alberta. That's exactly what he did, or what they did the other night. So Florida, Edmonton, Jack is going to be one of our Patreon player suite interviews actually over the summer. So it'll be great to bring on the great voice of the Oilers. So we're looking forward to that. One of many Patreon it's player suite, but that, hey, we can make it broadcaster suite too. No question. Anyone connected to hockey. So we're looking forward to that. A reason to stay connected and subscribed on Patreon for sure. That will be the player suite series that we do over the summer months. But game six tonight, Florida, Edmonton, Edmonton minus 120, home favorites as we go back to Rogers Place in Edmonton, 5.5 the total. Florida leading the series 3-2. Obviously, with Florida, my stance the whole series, it's been just hopefully waiting for these cup futures to cash, and now we're starting to get a little nervous. And I can't help but look at these some of these numbers here with Skinner 9-0 in games 4 through 7 here in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. And also this Edmonton record when facing elimination or having the chance to eliminate opponent, which is also unbeaten, I believe now 4-0 or 5-0 in the playoffs. So those are extremely good numbers backing maybe Edmonton here tonight to win and force game seven. I think for Florida, there's two very obvious things you have to do to create a different result after game four and game five. Start with not giving up the first goal, and even worse, a shorthanded goal right off the hop early in the game. I mean, which killed them really in game four and obviously set them behind the eight ball early in game five with that Connor Brown goal, you know, and that is probably a big talking point into why the Florida Panthers have all of a sudden had trouble defending Edmonton. Because when you're trailing and you're trailing that early in a hockey game, you have to open up. You can't sit back anymore. You can't play your airtight structure defense anymore. And when you open things up against a team like Edmonton, their speed game gets engaged. Their ability to generate chances off the rush becomes greater and stronger. And that is absolutely where the Oilers have punished the Panthers here in these last two games, because Florida's fallen behind early in the game, because Florida's had to open up the game. It's played right into Edmonton's hands. Their power play, which was shooting blanks early in the series, is all of a sudden heating up here in game four and in game five in particular. Two power play goals for them in game five in the victory the other night. The key for Florida is you start from ahead for a change, which is something obviously you've been able to do in the past throughout these playoffs. That's going to be critical tonight, because then if you get up 1-0 or 2-0 like Edmonton did, in game five, you're going to be able to play the pace in the game you want to, and you're going to be able to dictate things a lot better. So that's going to be the critical point for Florida. Look, it seems like in every game, especially in an elimination game, we always say the first fucking goal is huge. I think based on the way these teams play and how they play when trailing, it's even more important here tonight, especially I think for Florida, because we've seen when Edmonton gets a couple 3-goal lead on them, Florida has to play the kind of game that plays right into what Edmonton can do. So That's going to be fascinating to see. Is Bobrovsky getting tired? I think that's not a decent question. I think that's a decent question to ask by Nate Dogg in the chat, because he's played a shit ton of hockey. He's in his mid 30s. He's played a lot of high intensity hockey, you know, a lot of strain, a lot of stress, a lot of pucks, you know, he's faced now in these playoffs. Is he starting to wear down under it? Hopefully not if you're Florida, because you need him and you need goalie Bob to bring the level of play he did earlier in the playoffs. It's a fascinating game as far as lineup changes for Florida. The main one up front is Nick Cousins in on the fourth line with Lomberg and Stenlund, and out comes Kyle Okposo. Now, Lawrence was taken out for Lomberg in game 5. Lomberg stays in, Lawrence stays out, but now it's Okposo now moving out to make room for Nick Cousins, and I agree with that. Okposo definitely had a bad game 5. You could see he was on the ice for a couple of those goals. Speed of Edmonton caused him problems defensively, and I think I like that move. And I think Nick Cousins, as long as he keeps it whistle to whistle, doesn't lose his shit, lose his mind, which sometimes he can do, he can push the envelope, maybe goad Edmonton into a penalty or two here tonight in this game, playing that just cantankerous agitation style that he does. So I like the move by Paul Maurice. This is where coaching has to come into play. And Paul Maurice, I like this. I give it a thumbs up going with Cousins there on the fourth line instead of Okposo. And I think a little more offense he can bring too than Okposo right now as well for the Panthers. Pretty much everything else stays the same. Rodriguez, Bennett, Tkachuk was, I thought, their best line in game 5. We'll see if they can continue to be good. They need more from Verhaeghe and Reinhart. They've really had quiet series. Barkov's been fine. Barkov's defensive game has dipped the last couple because Connor is starting to get going. But he's a prideful, strong player at both ends of the ice. He'll want to play better. The defense pairs stay the same. For Edmonton, there's talk of Evander Kane's a game-time decision. I don't know why they'd bother putting him in. He hasn't done anything in the playoffs. He's been very quiet. He's not 100%. You got a winning lineup and a winning formula here if you're not blocked the last 2 games. Why upset the apple cart? I think you keep things as is. But again, we'll have to wait and see, because they've left the door open for Kane to draw back into the lineup tonight for game 6. Looks like the defense pairs stay the same. Ekholm, Bouchard, Nurse, Broberg, Kulak, Ceci, Fogel, McDavid, Hyman up front, Nugent Hopkins with Draisaitl, Janmark, Henrique, and Connor Brown, McLeod, Ryan, and Perry look to be the lineups here for this Edmonton team. Look, I'm not betting a side. I'm going to bet a little over 5.5. A little bit, but I do feel that if Florida gets the lead, this becomes an under type, could become an under type of game, and probably will. So I might even bet a live under if Florida gets the lead, because that's when this game could slow down, because you know Florida is going to want to, you know, rely on that defense, you know, dare Edmonton to come from behind, especially if they get a 2-goal lead at any point. So, but I'm going to bet just a small pregame over, and I'm going to both ends of the spectrum on the same game parlays tonight. +2.5 both sides with over 3.5, which is around -120, and also +2.5 both sides with under 7.5, which you can get around -130, -135 at BetMGM. BetMGM, you get the best prices by far for those same game parlays. And I think it's a close game either way. I don't think there's a blowout either way tonight. I think Florida wins, it's a 1 or 2 goal victory. If Edmonton wins, it's a 1 or 2 goal victory. That's kind of the way I see it here tonight. So I like the +2.5s paired with over 3.5 on one SGP, and the +2.5s on both sides paired with the under 7.5 on another SGP. And you've been able to middle this thing the last couple games where it's gone over 3.5, but it's also stayed under 7.5 a couple of times. Game four it didn't, but game 3 it did, and game 5 it did. Both of those games, you would have hit the +2.5 and over 3 with over 3.5, and the +2.5s with under 7.5. So that is what I'm aiming to do here tonight as well in game 6. Alex, what do you think here? Game 6, Panthers Oilers.
Yeah. So of course, yeah, we're letting it ride with Florida. So I don't have a side in this. The total kind of, I'm leaning toward over because we've been seeing that trend the last couple of games. If Edmonton, like I said, comes out, dictates the pace they want, this would certainly have that trend and feel of an over game. They'll
want, and that fast, better ice at Rogers Place too.
Right, right. And that the ice makes a difference as well. But I think with Florida, they can't afford to just rest down 2-0. You know, you can't just all of a sudden just shell up because of the fact that Edmonton's had this momentum offensively in the last couple of games. So if you're Florida, you
defense
have a 2-goal lead.
Don't stop attacking either.
Right, you can't stop it. Right, so 2-goal lead can't be the time to rest. You need to make that a 3-goal lead. 3-goal lead, you need to make a 4-goal lead. So that's the thing that keeps me from maybe looking at anything live. I would probably just go with over 5.5 at a shorter price. So that's something I might add last minute to the card. But as of now, I don't have anything side or total. Do have a player prop for the bargain bin. But the biggest key, obviously, and we talked about it, before game 5 on the BetCast, is that Florida has to get back to pushing Edmonton to the outside. They've been giving them the middle of the ice left and right, and now you can't afford to have McDavid and company setting up, getting their positions, even all the way back, like I said, in the neutral zone, not just necessarily in the attacking zone. That's where they set up the middle of the ice in the neutral zone, where McDavid is. He's usually the first point of entry, and then he makes that first pass, that secondary pass, and gets everything in rotation. If you can keep everything to the outside, keep everything along the boards in your Florida, then that gives you time to get your transition game going and find a way to score. Like I said, they got to find a way to get a goal early. Try it once again, when you're being on the road team, taking the crowd out of it, which is something we know Florida can do. We know they can, they're a good road team. They can jump out and get to a lead and kind of silence a crowd. So that's the way they have to attack this. For Edmonton, you just have to keep doing what you've been doing the last 6 periods. Like I said, crashing through the middle, getting that established rest, getting those 2-on-1s, those 3-on-2s, utilizing your speed edge, especially when entering the attacking zone. If Edmonton can do that, then they can find a way to push this to game 7. I think this game stays tight early, and then if we do see an explosion, it comes late. So third period over, I'm looking at that 2 at even money. Yeah. That's something I more than likely will be adding in pocket. I think we could definitely see at least a couple of goals. We pushed on that in game 3. And I think that was actually a push. There's a push in game 4 and 5, correct? 2 goals. So if you're getting a 2 at even money, which I've seen at a few shops, that's definitely worthy of a bet. That's something I will add to my card. It's probably the only side that I'll have pregame and not just look at the things. To delve within
game. My favorite props, by the way, are Rodriguez and Bennett for sure. For Florida, goal assist point prop, maybe a little sprinkle on Tarasenko, maybe just because he's back in the lineup. Cousins can, chip in every now and then too. I'm definitely interested in those. I think it's Barkov too. I think he knows, like McDavid, finally the last couple games has gotten the better of him. No question about it. And so I think it's one of those spots where I expect a guy like Barkov, the captain, to kind of step up, have a good game. For Edmonton, what I would do is what I've done all series. You sprinkle on Fogle and Nugent Hopkins and Henrique, Brown, Janmark, McLeod, Perry, just a lot of these depth guys. And they're all getting like plus 600, plus 700 to score a goal. All you have to do is hit one or two of those, and you're going to probably get a profit. So that's the approach for me with the Edmonton players, is just sprinkle on the depth guys who have had a great series, really, for them. And see if you can hit 2 or 3 of those depth guys to score a goal tonight. And there you go, you're gold, with the prices you're getting with many of those to get to find the back of the net. Matt, what do you think here? Game 6 tonight.
So I'm obviously really excited to watch this game with no dog in the fight. I lean Florida a little bit. I think it's really tough to beat a team 3 times in a row. They're going to make adjustments. Edmonton has dominated most of the last 2 games, obviously all of game 4, but I do think Florida will make adjustments. Would I be surprised to see a game 7 Monday night? Not at all. So I'm probably going to stay off the sides. I'm just, because they're plus money and I do lean Florida, I might throw a few bucks on it just to have a dog in the fight. But what I do like here is goals again. Even if it's going to be a tight game, I do think there's the fatigue factor with Bobrovsky. I know Skinner's played well enough for Edmonton to win these games late in series, but I still can't trust him to, dominate a game. Outside of that game 6 against Dallas, game 6 against Dallas. That's the only game I've really seen him dominate. So I think there's still going to be goals both ways. I'm going to split it up. I'm going to take the first period over. I think Florida is going to really need to score in the first period if they want a chance in this game. And if they don't, I can see Edmonton popping 2 in the first. But I think I don't want to take both teams to score just because I kind of lean both ways. I think my only pregame bets will be the over bifecta with maybe a little sprinkle on Florida plus 100. Just because I think they do have a decent shot at winning this game, and they are plus money. That's really the only rhyme or reason there. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how things go tonight.
So I mentioned being on the over full game a little bit. I mentioned the same game parlays. There's one thing I forgot to mention, and I'm going to bet it was my best bet actually in game five, which won even though Florida lost the game. And that's Florida team total over 2.5. I'm going back to that. There's only one game in this series, one out of five that Florida has not scored at least 3 goals. And that was game four when they got blown out in Edmonton. Every other game in this series, they've scored at least 3 goals. So I'm going to add that as well. And to me, it's just a little bit of a safer route instead of the money line, just in case Edmonton, you know, gets their power play rolling again and they're able to find the back of the net too. So you don't have to worry about winning the game. You just get 3 goals and you're a winner. So that Florida team total over 2.5 at just -128 at Pinnacle. You know, I think that's a good price and worth a look here. I know Matt's got a I stand corrected. Yeah, he's good to go. So he can stick around for the rest. But the show's almost over anyway. But nevertheless, yeah, he can stick around right till the end. Good stuff. Prop-wise, is there anything, Matt, that you're interested in for props other than the bargain bin for the next segment?
Nothing that sticks out besides what I've got for the bargain bin. You know, what you mentioned is true. I do think game sixes and game sevens, I lean depth guys generally. Because those are usually the guys that chip in when it gets down the stretch. So I liked a lot of the plays you mentioned. The one thing I saw, Corey Perry is only +400 for an anytime goal. That seems way too low for me. Like, I feel like he should be like +650 as a fourth liner. But I guess when you're, you know, you get a few seconds of ice time with McDavid, they really drop your stats.
No doubt. I think that's definitely part of it. So shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We got bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up. Just a quick reminder to reiterate what I said earlier in the show. If we have a Florida win tonight and the season comes to an end and they're raising Lord Stanley's Cup on that Rogers Place ice tonight, that means Monday will be our season finale show, 2 p.m. Eastern. If Edmonton wins tonight, we go to game seven, then Monday will be game seven preview at 2 p.m. Eastern and a Patreon exclusive live betcast for game seven Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then our season finale will be Tuesday if there is a game seven. So that's where we're at for the schedule for the remainder of this series and this season here on the Ice Guys show. A reminder, make sure you sign up patreon.com/iceguys. Again, if there is a game seven, we will be on with a Patreon exclusive betcast for game seven Monday night. And to be part of that, you must be a Patreon member, just $10 per month. Again, make sure you check that out. Sides, totals, player props posted. Lots of off-season content. We're going to finally do the Q&A. We have not forgotten about the Q&A. I swear to you guys, we have not forgotten about the Q&A. That's one of the first things we will do in the off-season is Alex and I will find a day and time after we'll get a little rest in our systems first, and then we will record that Q&A probably early July. It's probably going to be the time frame for that. And we'll also make our free agency recap show in July, a Patreon exclusive event as well. So again, reason to sign up right there, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And again, we will have content on the Patreon page exclusively for members throughout the off season. So make sure you sign up there, and also make sure you check out the Ice Guys store, because there's a lot going on with that right now as well that you're able to take advantage of. Right now, we're talking about 25% off all items at the Ice Guys store for today only. Okay, so make sure you take advantage of that. 25% off all items at the store, iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, just a few notes. So, yeah, 25% off today at iceguys.myspreadshop.com. That lasts until midnight Eastern. Now, at midnight Eastern, the website, all the sites that are affiliated with Spreadshop will be down for maintenance throughout the evening. So if you place an order and you want to make sure you get that done before midnight Eastern, then site will be down for a few hours overnight into the morning. Things should be back up, they said, around 9 or 10 a.m. So just want to give that disclaimer out for sure. So 25% off until midnight. Then the site will be shut down for a few hours. Also, another note, too, all the Tylanders merch, the Draw Island merch, that will all be up until July 15th. After July 15th, we'll be taking that off the shelves. So definitely, if you want to grab those items, definitely want to move fast and get that now, especially with the 25% off today. That's at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
And we can put out the AP, we can take away the APB because we have apparently seen and rediscovered Ice X in the chat here. I don't know where he has been the last several, really months, I think. I think it's been a good couple of months since we've last seen him in the chat, but it's good to see you back. It's good to see you're well, more importantly, that nothing's happened to you, that you're still keeping on, and good to see you back in the chat as well. What's this, Matt, you're saying in the chat about an Oilers watch party? Is it like a specifically like an Oiler fan watch party, or is it just like a game watch party?
No, it's with some of the guys I skate with here. The guy hosting is from Edmonton, and then there's two other Edmonton guys that are here in Reno, and then a few other guys spread out from Alberta, you know, Winnipeg, things like that. So the majority of the guys that'll
pretty
be there
Oiler
are Canadian. If I show up in a Florida Panthers jersey, they'll keep me at the front door. So it should be fun. Again, it's as much as I wish my team was playing right now,
I know there's not a lot of love for the Oilers in your heart right now. You're just going to grin and bear it and just try to be Mr. love me some Oilers tonight, even though deep down inside you're not quite feeling that way.
It should be one of those things where I bet on the Oilers so that if Florida wins, then, you know, I'm still feeling decent about it. One of those situations now. But, no, I'm just excited to watch. I mean, game six, game seven, Stanley Cup finals. I don't care if it's, you know, the old Atlanta Thrashers playing against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm all in. Like, it's good hockey. So, it'll be fun.
No doubt. And look, it's a long ass season. It's, you know, we're talking hockey still going on June 21st, and the AHL deserves to be criticized for it too. You know, they're just as bad. The Calder Cup finals still going here, and it's almost July for crying out loud. And it looks like that series is going to go six. It will go six. It might even go seven after Hershey tied it up last night, 2-2. Huge win for them because they are facing elimination in that rocking building in game five if they don't win last night. But they did. Shepherd was excellent in that game for Hershey, and net bounced back from him after a rough game three. That's going to go seven, I think. It just is. And now all of a sudden the pressure's on Coachella Valley. Because if they lose game five at home, and that was their first home loss the entire playoffs last night, if they lose game five on Saturday at home, they got to win two games in Hershey. They got to take that long-ass flight to Hershey, Pennsylvania, to the Giant Center, and win both games there if they lose game five. So that's a must. To me, it's an absolute must for Dan Bylsma's crew to win game five at home on Saturday. And that's me talking very ferociously as someone that's bet Coachella Valley in that series. They need that win tomorrow night. They don't want to put themselves in the situation to win both games in Hershey. You can win one there, I think, because they're a really good team, Coachella, but winning two, that's asking a lot. Don't put yourself in that spot down 3-2. Be up 3-2 going back to Hershey for game six there, that Calder Cup final. By the way, Shane Wright, man, he's had a hell of a series, hell of a playoffs. I think he's got 10 points in 10 games now. Scored again last night for Coachella Valley. That'll be the last you see of him in the American Hockey League, probably. He'll probably be with the Kraken full-time next year. He'll join his head coach, Dan Bylsma, there next year, because I think he'll probably be on that NHL roster the way he's played. He's definitely – you're seeing now signs of why he was a first-round pick right now with the way he's playing for the Firebirds. All right, good stuff. A shout-out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. Bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up right after we hear from our great sponsor. All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night for Game 6 Stanley Cup Final. Alex, where are you headed for the bargain bin?
Yeah, looking at Florida, and obviously one of the guys who's been, you know, he's been the offensive catalyst pretty much in this series has been Evan Rodriguez. You mentioned he's on that top line again tonight. You can get him as high as plus 430 anytime goal over at FanDuel. So he's going to need to be one of those guys. Everybody talks about Barkov. Everybody talks about Verhage. Everybody talks about Kachuk. But Rodriguez has really been a solid player all year long and certainly in this series as well. I think he gets on the board tonight. So, I mean, Evan Rodriguez, anytime goal, plus 430. My bargain bin special for game number 6.
All right, Evan Rodriguez for the Florida Panthers, who's, believe it or not, like if he has a hat trick tonight, I bet him 100 to 1 to win the Conn Smythe actually yesterday. I don't think it's hitting because it's still an overall Stanley Cup playoff performance that dictates it. But what if he has a hat trick tonight? What's that going to make it? Like 6 goals in the series for him? And all of a sudden, you know, he might steal it at the end if Florida wins the cup. Florida's got to win the cup to do it, of course, but just a couple of bucks on that. What the hell? I mean, Connor McDavid's now in a position where even if they lose in game 6 or 7, he still might get it, and the voters just might be so. We got to bet the guy, we got to pick the guy to win the Conn Smythe that is all time assist leader in a Stanley Cup playoff season. And now has 8 points in the last 2 games. I could see that happening, but certainly you don't want to bet it now. I mean, it's minus 150, you know, for him to win the Conn Smythe at many books right now. So if you didn't get on it before game 5, when it was what, plus 750 to plus 800 still at most books for McDavid to win the Conn Smythe, you're just not getting the value right now, even though he still very well could end up winning it despite Edmonton not winning the Stanley Cup. Matt, your turn now. What do you like here? Bargain bin special.
Yeah, so I know there's no rule against taking the same thing, but that was going to be my bargain bin. But I'll throw a little curveball, and I'll take Evan Rodriguez's first goal of the game, plus 1,600. Hopefully we can hit 2 bargain bins on the first goal of the game tonight. But yeah, I'll definitely be on him to score as well. I feel like, you know, he's that caliber of player where he's not the Barkov type guy. He's not the McDavid type guy, but he's been great in this series. He does have 4 already. And so I look for him, a guy like him, to score tonight. And because I lean a little bit on Florida, I think he's a guy that definitely could chip in. So love the price. I'll take him as a first goal of the game. I may sprinkle on it for him to get the first Florida goal. And then if he happens to score the first goal of the game, then you get a little hat trick of plus 425 or better odds. Just a couple bucks. I'm not going crazy with it. But yeah, I definitely like Evan Rodriguez to score tonight.
I'm going to start doing that, Matt, because I missed out on this with with Kachuk the other night. That's right, with Matthew Kachuk in game 5, where I had him to score a goal. I had him to score the first goal, and I almost... And I thought about it, but I didn't bet it. I should have. I didn't bet him to score the first Florida goal. And sure enough, he did score the first Florida goal in game 5. Now, obviously, it would have been, you know, not as good of a price as scoring the first goal, but still a great price. And I missed betting it. I think I might start doing that. If I'm ever going to bet first goal props moving forward, sprinkle on the first team goal as well, not just the first goal overall. So that's not bad advice there for Evan Rodriguez. Not only a first goal, but the first goal will be his official bargain bin for Matt, but also maybe a little sprinkle on first Florida goal specifically for Evan Rodriguez as well. I'm going back to the Benny, as they call him. Benny and the Cats. Sam Bennett here for the Florida Panthers. Benny and the Cats here. Let's see if Sam Bennett can make an impact. He's certainly been collecting the points. He's been chipping in the goals. It took him a while early in the series to get going offensively, goal scoring wise. But so suddenly he's starting to chip in, starting to produce here for this Panthers team. And he is a very, very good price once again tonight, plus 350 at FanDuel to score tonight. So Sam Bennett, Florida Panthers, plus 350. To score a goal for my bargain bin special of the night for game 6. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, we're going with that third period over two at plus 100. That's available at BetMGM as well as Bet Online. So definitely shop around and grab the two, not the 1.5, because I've been seeing that floating around as well at a laying price. So you want to go over two at even money for the third period here. I think we see goals, like I said, kind of slower pace maybe in the middle of the game, and then we kind of see an explosion late. So if we can just at least get two and push, get our money back. We get three, we cash it. Let's go with Florida-Edmonton third period. Over two goals at even money, that is my best bet.
All right, that's that classic third period over, which is an angle that we've talked about for years now, it feels like, on this show with elimination games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So over two at around even money for game six, Florida-Edmonton, over two third period for Alex B. Smith with his best bet. Matt Robinson, what do you got here? Best bet, game six.
Yeah, so I go back and forth on my over bifecta, but I think for my best bet, I'm going to take the over 5.5 on the game. On the off chance, it's like a 1-0 first period, but then things sort of open up, and especially a big third period, which Alex is hoping for. So my best bet will be over 5.5 goals. It's hit in the last two. I do think it'll be a little tighter game, but with both goalies in the form they're in currently, I think there will be a few goals in this game. So over 5.5 for tonight's game. That's my best bet.
All right, there we go. Over 5.5, -115 to -120 is the prevailing price with that right now for Matt Robinson. And I agree with your decision to go full game instead of first period over with the best bet, because I want the third period on my side. I would want it on my side in a game like this where the third period could explode, you know, as far as goals, especially if Florida's leading at that time. Not to mention, we saw game five. It was, 1-0 after the first, and then the goals came after that in that game. So over 5.5 for Matt with his best bet. My best bet, I'm going to go back to the well with what cashed for me as best bet the other night in game five, even though Florida lost 4-3. The team total hit, and I'm going right back to it tonight. Florida Panthers, with the team total, over 2.5, -128. Pretty good price with that. Panthers team total over 2.5, -128 for my best bet here for game six in the Stanley Cup final. All right, great show. Thanks to everyone for joining us, and also Jimmy Murphy for stopping in early in the show. You know where we're at. We're on Monday, one way or another, 2 p.m. Eastern. It'll either be game seven preview, or it'll be adios amigos for the offseason with our season finale. So Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern, we will be with you again. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live right here on YouTube. And if you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. And make sure you download the True TV Plus app to watch the Ice Guys show as well on all Roku, Amazon, and Apple devices. For Alex B. Smith and Matt Robinson and Jimmy Murphy, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Friday and a great weekend. Enjoy game six tonight and good luck. And we're back on Monday for another edition of the Ice Guys.